right, here we go on a Thursday live in Las Vegas. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you at Circa Las Vegas, specifically up at the Stadium Swim Club. We are poolside. We're in a cabana. It's like 70 degrees.
Feels nice. It's sunny.
It'll be 85 or 88 later on today. The club hasn't technically opened yet. It's quiet. It's calm now. We got this 143-foot screen in front of us. It's a tough day for us broadcasting from Vegas. Getting set for Chiefs and Raiders in a couple days. We've already seen some Chiefs fans, man, out on Fremont Street last night.
Well, I imagine they're like us, right? Get in a few days early, make a whole weekend of it in Las Vegas, and then, yeah, go to the game on Sunday. If you are in Vegas and want to say what's up, obviously the show will be broadcasting here from Stadium Swim from 8 until noon local time. That's 10 to 2, obviously, here still in Kansas City. Every single day, and then I imagine we'll be up by the pool a couple of times outside of that. And then, of course, on Friday night, Overhang Bar, we will, if you want a link to RSVP for that, it gets you a free drink, a chance to get one of these giant day beds here at Stadium Swim. You could use that on Saturday before the
game. Cody's going to be passed out on one later on today.
Sunday before the game, I might. I'm not above that. And then it'll give you a chance to win some game tickets to Sunday's game. So why not? If you're going to be out here in Las Vegas, let us know. Hit us up on the text line, 913-586-7965. Let us know where you're going to be. I took advantage of it. They picked us up in a limo last night.
It was nice.
It's how a limo should feel, right? A lot of neon lights and club music and alcohol. You know, the things you expect in a limousine, I'll say.
At one point, you said in the limo, you said, there's a bottle of tequila here. Should I have some? No, Cody, you should just stare at it. Yes.
Well,
yes.
I mean,
that's why it's there. It was on. You got ice. You got bottles of your favorite beverages. And, yeah, you had some tequila. You had some mixers. I was stunned. You went for the high noon. That's normally my play.
Well, it was like I'd already started drinking at the airport. So, you know, you had to, like, I was looking for and I knew I was going to get dinner. I was trying to, like, space myself appropriately.
And your wife was next to you.
I thought I started dipping into the tequila that early. Maybe I was opening myself up to trouble. I will say, like, kudos to the limo driver because, I didn't know what the line was, right? Like, what's the line? Where am I comfortable here? Because he pretty much just straight up said, he's like, one of those bottles of liquor goes missing and ends up in your hotel room. I'm none the wiser. I'm not here to tell on you. He's like, oops, oh no, the bottle's gone. And I was like, man. Can I straight up take an entire bottle of liquor from a limo, run it up to the hotel room for the weekend? I felt like that was one too far. I did grab a couple of roadies, though.
I saw that.
Stuck those in the hotel bar fridge. That way I was good to go.
I did see that. And it's going to be a fun couple of days. Met a few listeners last night that made the trip out, which
nice.
Was really cool. This is going to be the place to be the next couple of days. We'll obviously get you set for Chiefs Raiders. We're going to have a great time. And then if you're coming to that party, as Cody said, make sure you RSVP. That's going to get you entered to win some stuff. But did you notice one other thing about the limo driver? So Tommy was the limo driver. Great guy. Appreciate him.
Seemed like an old school Vegas dude.
Oh, definitely.
Very much.
Old school Vegas from the East Coast. I mean, I'm not going to say his last name on the air, but he had all the East Coast vibes. It was terrific.
And he was essentially just telling us to forget about it the entire time.
It was incredible. But the listeners are going to be mad at me about one thing.
Oh, man. I know what you're saying. I didn't say anything because why would I open myself up to this?
The listeners are going to be very mad at me for one thing. Here's why I did. I'll just preface it. Your wife was standing next to us. This is why. I was trying to.
If it were just me and you, you'd
100%. I was trying to, knowing your wife was next to you, I was trying to be respectful. So the limo driver says, oh, yeah, I used to run strip clubs here in town for 20 years. In my mind, remedial is like, uh-oh. This is perfect, given the history. Now, we revised the bet yesterday on the show, if you didn't recall. Cody does not have to do the strip club.
Yay!
Because he's willing, if the Chiefs go a perfect season, to get a Chiefs tattoo. I know some of you are mad at me about that. But yesterday, in that moment when he said, I ran strip clubs for 20 years here, I should have said, and I wanted to, but your wife was there, I want to say, perfect, you have a recommendation. My buddy here has never been to one. And I wanted us to start
there,
the
can
whole...
Can you get us in somewhere?
Can you get us in somewhere?
Oh,
my
man.
Friend has never had a strip club experience.
Especially in Las Vegas.
But your wife was standing right there.
Sorry,
and
man.
So I didn't say anything.
Ha! Like she would have said anything. She would have just been like, Alex. She just like, it would have been motherly. Not in some like... actually genuinely upset me. When he said that, I was like, uh-oh.
I started laughing, kind of.
Uh-oh.
I smiled and laughed.
That man,
I knew
that
I
man
should.
Mentioned that he ran strip clubs for 20 years in this town, and I thought, oh, boy. Well, We're just starting off strong here, aren't we, Wednesday night in Las Vegas? So, yeah. Well, nothing, you know what? Nothing came of it.
Yeah.
Life is good. We moved on to the next thing, you know? No problems, right?
That's right. That's right.
You drink at the airport? Do you have a beer?
Not at the airport. No, not at the airport. Obviously in the limo, and then last night at dinner. I had a very late dinner because I was waiting on some people. So I think it's the latest I've had dinner in a very long time. For Kansas City time, it was like a after midnight sit down dinner, which is. But you know, you're in Vegas. It was only 10 o'clock here.
That's practically like
different.
Six. Vegas yeah. time, 10 o'clock dinner. That's nothing.
Yeah, you can guess what I had. We'll talk more about dinner and
what's
stuff.
What's your
last
brisket,
night.
Fried rice?
Of course.
You know there are other things you can order there, right?
Oh well, we had some small plates as well. There's some chicken yakitori or whatever, some other things
okay.
as well. You and your wife went to dinner. We'll talk more about that a little bit later on and throughout the show. But we're going to have a great time. We appreciate you guys. The video stream will be up shortly as well. Back in the studio. Unfortunately, you will not get the poolside shot. But if you check our social media, we will have different videos throughout the day, throughout the next couple of days. If you want to kind of get a behind-the-scenes look of what's set up here, if you're coming out, if you're thinking about maybe I can't come out this weekend, but I want to make a trip out here sometime, what does it look like? Go to our Twitter and Instagram accounts. You can already check that out. But I want to talk about the Chiefs for a second because we know the trade stuff. We'll get to, is one wide receiver enough here in a few minutes? They trade for D-Hop, but is that actually enough? I was flipping through social media yesterday, and I saw on one of the national talk shows, Get Up to be specific, they were discussing the Ravens, who, of course, were coming off their big win on Monday night, and they win 41-31 against the Bucs, and we've all acknowledged, I think, that Lamar is playing better quarterback right now than anybody in the league, and he should be the MVP favorite, and he is in all of this. But then I heard them go from that to then acting like suddenly this Ravens team is just unbeatable. And I listen to the reason and the logic, and it just doesn't make sense. This was Greeny on Get Up.
Is the difference. You watch that team with him, they are markedly different. Lamar is brilliant. He's been brilliant a long time. This team is markedly different because of that
you remember? Hold on, you remember?
So Lamar's not the MVP of his team just because he's been good for a long time?
He threw five touchdown passes.
I want to focus on.
In the same way that Randy Moss was the difference when he came to New England, Tom Brady was already a great quarterback.
Yeah.
But that elevated everything, basically to the point of being unstoppable.
Yes.
And that's what this guy has done. If this guy is healthy, nobody beats the Ravens.
Okay, I mean, like, that
he was healthy, wasn't he, in week one?
He
or
was healthy
am I wrong?
Week one. They had Lamar and they had Henry week one against Kansas City. And they lost in a nail-biter. He was healthy and they had Henry with Lamar against the Raiders, did they not? Mm-hmm. In Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
At home. Mm-hmm. And they lost, did they not?
Correct.
So this notion of, like, they're unstoppable. Look, they're playing really good football right now. We already acknowledged Lamar. Derrick Henry's playing great. The Chiefs shut down Derrick Henry. The Chiefs have shut down most running backs, if not all, so far this season, including him.
The top two rushers in the NFL they've already faced.
Yeah.
And they held them to 103 total yards.
So like, are we just completely ignoring reality? Like, is that what we're doing now? Where it's like, I understand that football teams week one are not the same football team on January 15th or whatever. Like, I totally get that. We've all watched
sure.
enough football to understand whether it's due to injuries or whatever. And the Chiefs right now are not as healthy as they were week one. That is also a fact. However, we also know this Ravens team did lose head-to-head, and this Ravens team in the postseason last year was not able to have the same success they had in the regular season in the postseason. So how can anybody possibly say, like, they're just unbeatable if they have this 1-2 punch?
They're not. They're just I think it's the – every year, and it's usually about halfway through the season, so they fall in love with a team that they're like, when they play like this – no one will ever stop. And it's never the Chiefs because they never play well enough in the early part of the season to be that team, right? They're never playing because, like, even now, they're 6-0, and nobody's out here saying, the Chiefs are an unbeatable monster.
Right.
They can't be stopped. Right now, what you're seeing in the Ravens is they're one of the healthiest teams in the league. So they still have Lamar. They still have Derrick Henry. They still have Flowers. They are comfortable. They have the people they need in order to play the game every week. And they're just playing the best football. So, in previous years, it's been the Buffalo Bills. Remember when they're just, like, dropping 40 points on every team left and right? In previous years, it's been the Rams in the middle. It's been lots of teams in the middle of the regular season. Fine. go nuts. But to say if they play like this, they are an unbeatable monster, it's just not true. It's also ignoring their fatal flaw, that they can't stop the pass. So if we're just ignoring, like, if they were doing this and also allowing 5 points per game, well, let's have a conversation about how unbeatable they are. And maybe the first week was just the Chiefs caught them before they knew who they were, whatever version of the, you know, the Ravens you want to set yourself up for. But if it's not that, well, then I'm not having a conversation. They are a mediocre defense. They are fine. Let's see, points per game. I know that their pass defense is no good. Points per game, they're 26.
Yeah, their best is against 26. The run. Yeah, they're good against the run, but not against the pass.
Like this, we talk about this with turnovers. Look at the company they're keeping defensively. The only teams worse defensively than them, and I'm sorry, they're tied for 26th, are Tampa Bay, Vegas, Jacksonville, Dallas, and Carolina. Those are the only teams who allow more points than the Ravens. I understand part of that is a falsehood because they allowed 30 points to the Bucs in what ended up being mostly garbage time. But damn, they could have stopped them once of those four drives instead of letting them go down and score a touchdown, get a turnover, make a stop. But the difference was, once the Bucs were only pass, the Ravens couldn't do anything about it. So no, I do think that I told you, if there was one team I got to take a pass on, I would choose the Ravens. If they just let me avoid someone in the playoffs and I had to choose in week 7, which is a ridiculous time to choose, right now I'd choose the Ravens. And they've still beaten them and beaten them consistently in the postseason. So I'm like, taking a pass because you have to give me a choice, I'm not afraid of anyone.
Yeah, 2 wins against them since January. 2 wins since January against Baltimore, whether it was with Henry or without Derrick Henry. So it's just foolish to hear that comment on Get Up. And then the other part is we've also seen we haven't reached November and December, as I said a week ago, for the Ravens, where that's typically where, unfortunately, randomly Lamar Jackson will get an illness or whatever and maybe miss a game or two. And then we haven't obviously got to January, where that organization has not been the same team, simply put. That's it. Not the same team.
I think a lot of the... Yeah, no, it's not. And I... Like, assuming who's going to be healthy doesn't tell us anything. Does that make sense? Like, we're making a lot of broad assumptions in week 7. Like, somebody was like, oh, way to be the winner in week 7. Oh, man.
Yeah, and who knows? They might have more injuries then. The Chiefs could have more. The Chiefs could also be healthier in a weird way by the time they play in January. There's a real chance that in January they actually have a healthy Juju and a healthy Hollywood Brown and a healthy Isaiah Pacheco. And a healthy Aminihue. Like, that's all positive stuff. There's a chance other guys get hurt. But my point is, acting like this is the same, this is also the Chiefs team right this second that's going to play them again in January is not true. They're not playing this Saturday or this Sunday. They're going to play again on a Saturday or Sunday in January, most likely.
Somebody, it was a good, over on Twitch, Legend said, hey, just real quick, was Derrick Henry healthy against the Raiders in week 2?
Or is that a no?
Which way is it? It's just so much of that where you're just like, yeah, I can't do this with you. Every year we know who the team to beat is. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry if you're another fan base. I'm sorry if you're a national pundit and it sounds boring to come on the air because Nick Wright's got the national perspective of you better stop doubting the Chiefs locked down, but I'll make it easy on you. At the end of the day, if you choose some team and say they're unbeatable, you're going to look stupid because if they've never beaten the Chiefs in January – or February, I'm not going to worry about you or take you seriously until that moment. The biggest problem with the Ravens is they've played their worst football in January. Like, I don't know what it is about, like, the cold weather hits. That's not who they used to be as a franchise, remember? It'd be the opposite. We get to a January game, and, like, the Chiefs would somehow be the higher seed than the Ravens, and you're like, well, they're fried. Bye-bye. That's a lock. The Ravens weren't going down lightly in the postseason there for a while, but that's just not who they are anymore. They are consistently the kind of team that does that.
913-586-7965. That's the Jays Southland Soul Service text line. It's also the call-in line. So we know DeAndre Hopkins is now a member of the Chiefs. Are we getting greedy, or is it just a necessity still? Why not get another receiver? Is one wide receiver actually enough?
All right.
I think if we take a look at the receiver room, it's an upgrade, no doubt, with D-Hop. If you can get any of the other names we've always mentioned and we thought were more realistic than Hopkins, honestly, for a 6th or a 7th, that's something you should pursue still. The issue is the finances, and they only have $1 million in cap space, but I'm still convinced. I don't buy the, oh, they have nobody they could restructure to get an extra $3 million free if they had to. I call BS on that. I think, yes, they absolutely could if they want to. If DeMarcus Robinson, now that Cooper Kupp and maybe Puka are coming back healthy, if DeMarcus Robinson's available a week from now for a conditional sixth or something.
They're clearly fire sailing.
Yeah,
there,
like if a conditional sixth, Cody, and you are able to financially get a restructure. I mean, Marcus Robinson's making what? I haven't looked yet. $2 million?
Yeah, something like that.
So
maybe not even that. I don't know.
I would absolutely still be interested. I don't think one wide receiver is enough, actually.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Do I feel the same urgency I felt 2 days ago where I'm like, I can't believe I'm having to wake up every morning and you don't have another wide receiver on this roster? We're past that point because DeAndre Hopkins is on this team. Thank God. And DeMarcus, by the way, is on a 1 year, $4 million contract. Okay. So he's probably owed about, I don't know, $3 million. So if they took half, $1.5 million, I don't know. Not very much money is the point. When you look at, but like, yes, they need another wide receiver. No, it is not being too greedy. Yes, you can make a call on Cooper Kupp if you want. By the way, any time, have you in the last calendar year, 12 months, when you initially hear the reported want from a team, from a draft pick compensation standpoint, has any team, the first number you heard from a draft pick, has any team gotten that gold? What was the first report you heard? The Chiefs won a second for Legarius Knee. They were never getting a second. That wasn't on the table. And then it was, the Browns won a second for Amari Cooper. It was a third. I've seen teams who said they wanted a first get a third. It's just not how the initial reported number is the number that's the buy now price, right, on eBay. You could just keep bidding on it, gold, but buy now. Second round pick, he's all yours if you want to pay the price. And you're like, we'll just wait and work out some other deals, see who else is available, tinker and let this play a little bit, and not worry about those things. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anybody named too high. They should get or at least target another wide receiver.
If you had a choice, let's just say for the sake of the hypothetical, the compensation was basically the same. Would you rather go and get a cornerback or another wide receiver?
Wide receiver.
Because the cornerback, to me, would just be – they just need a depth signing. They don't need someone to trade for
the
a corner.
The depth signing came out the practice squad, in my opinion. I'm fine.
I don't think they need to go trade for a corner unless it's, a guy that they just feel has veteran experience that can come in and be a backup, essentially. And so you're really giving up nothing for said player. And a wide receiver is absolutely the area that I would be far more interested in. And do you think there's any chance there's a surprise defensive lineman that they're actually interested in? Or are they looking at – because I think they're just saying we get Charles Omenihu back. That's our in-season acquisition.
I think that's how you treat it. Like at this point, at some point I would have said, hey, is that something that needs to take place, right? Do they need that in order to make it work? But I don't know. They're a pretty good pass rush. They have one of the most – probably the most dominant pass rusher now that Aiden Hutchinson's hurt left in the NFL. And they're still pretty good with Karlaftis. They've shown – I think eventually Dan will be healthy and he's been a productive player in his NFL career. When healthy, I think it's like Dana and Omenihu will get healthy and we'll just let that be our pass rush. Defensively, I know that they're just now missing Jalen Watson, so we don't know what they'll be moving forward. They've been the league's best defense so far. So do I think losing one corner makes them not the league's best defense? No, I already told you where I stand on that. So if you gave me a choice, I would take wide receiver. Even if it was like lower end, even if it was just, hey, we're either signing wide receiver four or corner four. Which one do you want? Wide receiver. Like, I want more depth there. I want more targets there. I want them to accidentally fall into the guy that's like, oh, wait, that's the hit. This one triggers in this offense. He runs the right routes. He finds the spots for Mahomes. He's the guy who fits. And they got a lot of dead weight.
They do.
But
even when Juju comes back healthy eventually, like, I hope it's not the case, but what's to say he doesn't get hurt again? You know what I mean? Like, and that's not – that's just a track record that he has, unfortunately. And we're just talking about a hamstring injury for a player that's older. I know he's not 32.
His body is.
But his body sure feels like it's 32 or 34, I would imagine, based on some of the injuries that he has. And so even if he comes back in, let's say, 2 or 3 weeks, is he there in the playoffs? Is he there late in the season? Then you go further down. Like, Mecole Hardman, he's had some times, Cody, where he's missed a game or two here and there because of an injury. Xavier Worthy was healthy in college, but you know my thoughts on they got to be really careful with his workload. I still believe it. I think the last game, to me, is the prime example of that. I know he got back in the game, but, like, it was a pretty good hit he took, and it knocked him out for a drive or so. Like, that's why they got to be really careful, and that's why it was so important, one, to get Hopkins. But I would still not hate if they could make it work further down the depth chart. D-Rob, Adam Thielen, I know people are concerned because he's old and at this point in time. But at this point, none of these trades are for long-term options. It's all about right now. Give up late draft picks. Get your team better right now. Yeah, in the offseason, they're going to have to go draft guys again. They're going to have to
trade down sign to try to recoup whatever, some of those later picks, you know? I don't care about that. I mean, some of it is, I know that we hate doing it because, like, you see where because this is the example. The Rams are in a position where they sold their soul, right? Like, they bought.
Those were first and second round picks they were giving up.
I know, but they sold their soul. They won their Super Bowl. And now, a couple years later, where they've been trying to, like, drag this thing together, gold, claw and scratch and force it to work, doing all of these things to make it happen, et cetera, et cetera. Sure, but now they're having to sell their they're done, right? They're going to sell. They're done. Those whole things broke up, aren't going to work anymore, and they're stuck in their same spot. Do you want to be that team? No, you don't. But also,
that's not where they're. That's
just
not
even close to that, you know?
At all, man.
They're just not even close to that. Do you know how much they sold their soul in the – we're talking 1 year. 1 year of draft class. Yeah, it probably equates, I'll be honest, to one less free agent next year or the year after that, right? It equates to being able to buy one of your problems and solving it there and instead forcing your coaching staff to take a very cheap free agent or a late-round draft pick and make them a starter even if you're not comfortable with it. Oh, no. This would be a terrible coaching staff to put yourself in that position. I bet they've never done that. And so, like, that's where I'm like, no, buy. Buy, 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 buy. If you can make the money work, put players in here and make yourself better.
I was looking at the giant screen. It's hard to miss in front of us, 143-foot. And they're talking on one of the other shows about the Phoenix Suns. And you're like, what does this have to do with what we're talking about? It said that Kevin Durant, I guess, last night compared the Suns to the Chiefs and said they have the same championship mentality. What? What are the I know Kevin Durant's won championships. I understand that. What? I mean, this everybody wants to be the Chiefs and compare themselves.
Sure.
I get that. But even cross-sport, someone explain that one to me. The Suns, they have the championship mentality. They haven't won anything together in Phoenix. Where's the comp to Kansas City? Where's the comp there? I don't get it. There's some guys that have won rings.
I was trying to find the comparison in my head. Are they like? Do they have some of their stars injured? Is he comparing it to the wide receiver?
Now, in fairness, he was asked to compare his Suns to an NFL team. So he didn't just come up with this. He was on Kay Adams' show.
They said Bills vibe.
I would say the Chiefs because we bring that championship mentality every day. Okay.
Yeah, I see it right up there on the screen. I mean, he's won some championships. Yeah. You can't argue that, right? Championship or chips? Has he won more than one chip?
Multiple.
Golden State, though.
You know, so,
yes,
who cares?
Yes.
But he's talking about, like, championship mentality. I think we could probably let Durant go for that.
Okay.
Plus, Boonehoes
with
the coaches
on Steven, look,
the Suns haven't won a championship in their 57 years of existence, but yeah.
But they beat the Clippers last night, so 1-0.
With no Kawhi Leonard.
Now who looks stupid, you know?
With no Kawhi Leonard.
That arena looked awesome. The new arena for the Clippers. They have, like, the fan wall. It's like a college atmosphere. It's kind of badass.
Did you see Ballmer leading the chant? Dude, Steve Ballmer,
of course,
is, Steve Ballmer is as much of a fanboy as anybody else, and it makes him being the owner just even more fun. He's over here living and dying by every possession.
Seem like owner most likely to, like, have done, like, a line of cocaine? He seems so energetic. What?
Honestly.
How's he got that much energy, dude?
I hear you.
You got a shot of B12 before the game? Damn.
Maybe yes.
I mean, there's some owners in the league
for fun, he'd be
actually,
you know,
done that. Yeah.
There was a video last year of him getting excited and like, gripping the thighs of the people next to him. He's over here living in breeze.
I'm worried about that man's heart.
Oh, yeah.
Did you just say gripping the thighs?
Yes. There was a video last year. He was there. Whoa. There was like a game-winning shot or something. He was losing and was squeezing onto people's legs like it was intense.
Anybody grip your thigh yesterday, Cody?
Don't believe so.
Okay, just checking. I didn't know if that happened.
I'm just saying this man is into these games as he should be because he's the owner.
Someone says, shows that room together grow together. Who's the snorer? We have separate rooms, thank goodness.
Yeah, we're not in the same room.
Not the same. Well, one, his wife is here, so he's We would have had our own rooms anyway, but yes, we definitely have
I don't know why. They put me 20 floors above you. I'm up on floor 55, baby. Dang. I'm way up there. I'm above the Golden Nugget. I'm on top of the city.
I'm on 30-something. You're higher. You can't even see the screen that's
I got to look down.
To actually, yeah.
Where is it at in relation to your room? Like, pretty much dead on?
No. I'm still higher than it.
Higher than this, because
it's still higher than it. But yours, you can't even see it because like that's 55. I think that's like one of the. You're almost in the penthouse.
Honest to God, like we walked up and the signs say, "You're like room number, right? Like 55 blank." And the placard, it said, "Our room number on the placard is like the starting room number."
Oh. Okay.
And then the number below was the starting room number going the other way, and I was like, "Oh!" And like the first room is like the one with like the double doors. I was like, please tell me they did not accidentally put us in this one. No, we were just like one off to the right. Like, oh, thank God. I didn't need
my
that
alias.
Kind of
we discovered also, we'll tell you on the other side,
I
have an alias on this trip, apparently.
You
I
sure
didn't,
do?
I didn't pick it, but I guess I have an alias on this trip. We'll explain why that's the case. And one thing that hasn't changed the way we would like it to when it comes to the Chiefs, we'll explain who and what that is next. Back here in Las Vegas, Cody and Gold hanging out the next couple of days, getting set for Chiefs and Raiders here at Circa Las Vegas. Again, as we've been saying, if you're going to be in Vegas, some of you are maybe flying out today or tomorrow, come by Circa, say hello. We've got a big happy hour event going on tomorrow night at Overhang Bar, which is right here inside of Circa, and a chance to win some tickets to the game, a chance to win a day bed. It's going to be a great time this entire weekend, and the weather is perfect, honestly. It's going to be a little warm later on today. You'll definitely want to hop in stadium swim in the pool. Planning on doing that a little bit later on this afternoon when it gets up there 88, 90 degrees.
That's your afternoon plan?
Oh, that's the plan. After the show, we'll work on tomorrow's show, peel back the curtain a little bit. We'll be working on that, maybe grab a little lunch, and then, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a pool day. Well, you're not going to go to the pool today?
I'm not sure if it's today, tomorrow.
Really?
There's
both.
There's multiple days. I'm wide open on that. I don't want to pigeonhole myself into one plan, you know?
That's right.
Wife's never been to Vegas before. Want to make sure she, you know, like, you've been down to the strip, so we got to go down to the strip.
You got to take her to the strip at night, though.
Oh, we'll go at night.
That's when you got
to. That'll probably be tonight, honestly.
Okay.
I was reminded last night by
Kramer.
Friday
night, we've got our party at Overhang Bar.
I know.
What's that, Drew?
I was reminded last night by Kramer while doing after hours that he was like, I'm just listening to you guys chilling at Cody's house. I was like, oh, that's right. I forgot he was house-sitting.
You know my opinion on that. I still, Cody's house is getting watched by Kramer, a coworker of ours. You guys have heard the name and probably know him. I told him last time, and I wonder if he'll do it. I said, you got to at least wipe down Cody's shower when you're done. You gotta wipe down the shower when you're done. You can't just leave it. You know, get some spray. I don't know if what
fresh sheets were put on.
That's great on your part.
Wednesday morning?
It's
like turndown service.
Sleeping
in
your bed.
Still.
Where's he supposed to sleep? On the couch, dude?
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
It's a whole ass house.
Yes. Do you have a guest room?
We do not have a guest room. We only have three bedrooms.
Okay. But, no, he should not be sleeping in your bed. No, I don't think so.
I think it's fine.
And then he should then do
You're sleeping in a hotel bed. Do you know how many asses have been in that thing, dude?
But I don't know them. That's actually better. I don't want to know
stranger
who's,
asses.
I don't want to know whose ass and what they were doing in that bed. I don't want to know. He knows who was in that bed.
It's just a bed. We're all grown-ups.
I don't know, man. Be honest, though. If like someone's like, it's not a big deal. Be honest.
You've never had sex in a friend's house? I'm just asking.
Not in their bed.
You never had sex in a bed that wasn't your bed, that wasn't a hotel bed?
That wasn't the other person's bed either?
Yes.
No.
Oh, well, I don't know if I'm in the minority here. I'm just letting you know that that's definitely occurred in my life, okay?
Be careful, because I'm having sex in other people's beds. That's what's happening.
I'm not just like popping over to your place and we're hanging out for a couple of beers. Knock off to the room for a few.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not like that.
Can someone give me a screwdriver, please? I need a drink.
I
shouldn't even have brought Kramer up. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought that up. I apologize.
It's fine. It's way better than
I guess this. I have an alias on this trip, too.
Yeah, you checked into the hotel. At first said you didn't have a room. I was concerned for you.
No, I wasn't.
Under Andrew Gold. Andrew, huh?
There was a mistake. It was corrected quickly. We're great. They took care of me. We're all set. But yeah, Andrew.
Did your parents ever consider calling you Andrew?
I don't know. Ask them. I don't know.
I don't know. That's a conversation you had with your parents every once in a while. Did you consider a different name for me?
I think they're only considered, depending, at the time that, I have a twin sister. So, like, if we both would have been one gender or whatever, like, than what was the female equivalent name maybe they would have had or something. I don't remember what that would have been, but like
you both got A names, so they obviously decided to go with some theming.
Yeah.
So you could have very easily been Andrew. It's not out of the question. Their only thing seemed to be, you know, whether or not you would be an A name or not.
Oh, the text line is cooking this morning. Oh, it's cooking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the text line is, it's something.
Next topic. This is gross.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
what the text line.
Well, fine. Let's talk about the Chiefs for a little bit. Uh-huh. Obviously, they're 6-0. Most of their problems are champagne problems. I understand that. But are you a little surprised that Travis Kelce hasn't returned back to full form yet? Or is it he did for one game, then the wide receiver who was distracting for the attention for him went away, and so they had to go back to another game in which Travis Kelce had to be the only focus of attention for a team? Because as it sits right now, Travis Kelce is on pace for a career low, 694 yards, which is actually pacing quite a bit better than it was earlier in the season. Are you, like, is there any part of you that is like, he's still not Travis yet? The hell's taking so long? It's only 6 weeks, but still.
Of course that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I mean, let's be real. I think you have to adjust expectations. That doesn't mean he can't have a huge performance in the playoffs for this team. But if you still think, Cody, he's getting to 1,000 yards, man, I think you're –
This is going to be a tough year for me. Man. How many would he have to average per game now, I guess? And they can't go undefeated because he would definitely sit – or they can't like go 16-1 or something, 15-2, because then he's definitely not playing the final week of the season, right? He's got 11 games left, and he needs, 750 yards roughly? He needs to average 68 yards a game. That's his career average.
I don't think that's happening, though, and that's fine. Like, it's, you know, it's about the playoff performances for him, but I don't believe you should be thinking he's getting to 1,000. Honestly, 700 yards? Whether it's age, whether it's the scheme, combination of both is the answer, probably. Yeah, he's not going to have the numbers that he typically has. It's pretty clear. He's blocking his ass off, helping his team, but that's where we're at. That's where we're at now.
That we're complimenting
his
blocking?
Still someone
so he's George Kittle now?
He's still someone that you don't want to cut loose and just let him run around freely. That's not something. That's not it. You got to respect him still if you're a defense. But, yeah, he's not exactly the same as what he was in that still is probably going to be a 650 to 750 yard season. I'll give credit to the books on this one. We all thought they were idiots.
I thought that number was a joke.
We all thought they were idiots in July when his number was what? Wasn't it 750? Or no, that was Worthy. Worthy was 750.
He was 801.
801.
Something and like that, 802.
Tell me right now, if I give you the same number right this second, over under 801.
I'd still take the over.
Oh, I'd be taking the under.
I mean, maybe I'm crazy.
I'd be taking the under.
I just told you he's on pace for 700
still,
essentially.
I think you're too committed to the number. Like, you're too committed
to
that.
Well, look, I'm already in it, so I might as well just keep going down that road. What's funny is, like, it's the same thing where he's just no longer second. He's essentially fallen into the, like, he's like every other tight end thing, right? Same amount of yardage essentially as Cole Kmet or Kincaid or Tucker Kraft or these other guys who have been doing it versus the guys who are at the top of the league right now. Brock Bowers is number one with a bullet. He's on pace for like 1,400 yards or something absurd. He'll probably lead the league in tight end yardage. I still think it's there. I don't know why. I feel like it's easy to explain away, and maybe it shouldn't be that, you know, maybe I shouldn't make it that easy on myself, but he had a really good week. They finally got Juju Smith-Schuster rolling, and then here comes Travis Kelce, right? Oh, someone else had to take the attention. The second Juju Smith-Schuster went down, who else would you even guard on this team other than Xavier Worthy deep? I mean, seriously, who?
D-Hop. D-Hop now.
Well, yeah, now.
Before that, no.
That's why I still think it's there. That's why I still think when D-Hop comes in and the offense is chugging along, I don't think that these things are unaligned because Mahomes is having a career yardage low. Right, the offense is not scoring. You know, like some of the things are aligned where it's not just him, it's the whole offense that is off. And so, like, I don't think he's less of a player. I just don't think their offense is working the way it should. And maybe that's because Travis Kelce's not working. I understand that we could go back and forth and be like, causation versus correlation, but
yeah, the truth is it's probably both, right?
It's
probably a little bit of it's a challenge because of this offense, but also, yeah, he's not 29 years old anymore. And so I think it's a little bit of both, and that's why you get the result of where things are at. But for Chiefs fans, one, he's already cemented himself forever many, 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 many years ago. But for this year, we know the goal is a three-peat. all it takes, man, for Travis to have that one moment in the postseason again. That's it. That's all we should care about. Can he have the key moment in the postseason? I don't care if he finishes with 500 yards in the regular season or 950. Can he have the moment in the postseason that gets them to the Super Bowl again or in the Super Bowl? That's all that we should be caring about.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
I mean, he's already a Hall of Famer. Who cares what the numbers are this year?
Well, I mean, I don't. Like, in the end, do I care if he finishes with 750 yards or 1,100, but they win the Super Bowl? No, not really. Like, just as long as they win the Super Bowl, I don't think he'll care about the numbers either. But that also just brings back into the questions of, like, next year and the future stuff. Because, like, now.
This is it, right? This is it.
You think he's done?
This is it.
Oh, well, that adds a whole nother layer to this. You think this is the last year for Travis Kelce?
Yeah.
Why did he sign a 2-year deal then?
Yeah, that's fine. Why not? Why wouldn't you?
Just give yourself an extra option, potentially.
Why wouldn't you? If he finishes with 600 yards and they win.
He has openly said.
If he finishes with 600 yards and he wins the Super Bowl, yeah, he should retire at that point.
Man, you think you should just go out?
Go out with the three-peat if you're going to have 600 yards.
Go on, Elway style?
Yep.
Man, I don't. Why would he? Like, it's so hard because the reverse is. Why quit now? You may never
because
stop winning Super Bowls.
Because you had a 600-yard season and you'll be 35 or whatever.
And he's made it, I'll say, he has made it very clear that he does not want to go out being an average player. He told on his own podcast, he's like, if I can't be great, I don't want to
do
it.
That's what I'm saying.
So, I mean, to your point, that would follow up that logic. Now, he's on pace for 700, so I don't think he's going to get worse than this. I think it's no worse than 700
yards. Watch him Sunday have 120.
I think he's going to finish with, like, at this point, I think it'd be kind of, I think I'd be too arrogant if I told you I thought he was finishing with 1,000 yards this season now because of the way that it started. That is an awfully big hill to climb. But I still think he's finished like 850, 900.
Look,
they
gave an extension to Noah Gray for a reason. I think there's also truth. Someone pointed out on the text line. I think it's a fair point. We brought this up before, which is, you know, the balance of also protecting him. I hear you, but also the snaps are still there, though. So I don't fully buy that they're saving him for the postseason argument as much as maybe I would have before the season. We talked about that. I haven't looked at the exact snap count, but it's not like they're just holding him back on a bunch of snaps.
No, in the first couple of games they were, but then when the wide receivers got hurt, there was no choice.
To do that.
Yeah, they just they had to. That was it. They just had to bail on that whole plan, which is fine, but they had to just let that go, like, which is reasonable and all those things. But, yeah, I don't know. He just hasn't quite been the same.
Let's go down a level for a second here and talk college football. Then we'll get back to the Chiefs as we're broadcasting here in Las Vegas, getting set for Chiefs Raiders. We're here at Circa Las Vegas Stadium Swim Poolside and hope to see you guys for our happy hour tomorrow and for the entire weekend. But there's a huge college football game on Saturday. We talked about it 2 days ago that it's a de facto elimination game for Mizzou and for Alabama down in Tuscaloosa. But surprising news yesterday from Pete Thamel, Brady Cook, doubtful. Starting quarterback from the Missouri Tigers, doubtful with an ankle injury for the game. We saw the line here at Circa move because of that, 13.5 or so. Believe it's sitting at 16.5 or so now, as in the Tigers' 16.5-point dogs, understandably because of the movement. Now, this is not the same Alabama team, as we've all discussed, from the Nick Saban era by any means. They're not dominant like they have been. But if they don't have Brady Cook, I mean, there's no shot here. I mean, and honestly, even as a KU guy, that sucks. It's supposed to be a big-time game. You're supposed to have a special season. Even if you're not for them, you still want them to have their starting quarterback in a matchup like this. So I hope somehow they're playing a little bit of the gamesmanship here and that Brady Cook is able to go. But remember, this kid was in the hospital and then came back and won a game for them a week ago.
So he's tough. I mean, I think we can establish that.
No doubt.
He was gone for 2 hours of real time and managed to finish a football game after visiting, as you said, the hospital. But this stinks because, look, I didn't think they were going to win the game anyway, Gold. Nothing about the way Missouri has performed this year made me think they could go on the road for a big-time SEC game and get that win. They've been for chunks of the season to make me think, yeah, they're going to go down to Tuscaloosa for the first time and go get the dub there. With no Brady Cook,
they have no chance.
Zero percent.
They will get their
0%. They might lose by 30.
If Brady Cook doesn't play, they will get their ass kicked. I'm not trying to trash the kid that came in, but
Pine.
He has no chance. He has no chance.
I don't think it's a great chance with Brady Cook. 25-30%. You know, better than a puncher's chance. They're a better team than that. So certainly, I would give them better odds than that with Cook, but with no Cook? No.
The fact too now
No. Fried.
The fact that the SEC now is giving out injury reports, I don't think any other league is doing this right now, but injury reports are a thing in the SEC.
I'm glad they are.
Brady Cook is doubtful. Starting running back Nate Noel is doubtful. Mookie Cooper is doubtful. Star linebacker who starts for them is questionable. Brett Norfleet, the starting tight end, is questionable. Their starting left guard is questionable. They got three safeties who are questionable. So, I mean, they're getting hit at maybe not the right time when they're going on to obviously the biggest game of the season against Alabama. It's tough.
Any chance, like I know that this is probably just like wishful thinking for Missouri fans maybe, but any chance that, let's say they ran the table after this, which is not totally out of the question. They certainly have
and
a lot of
two losses.
Two losses.
To A&M and Bama without
and
a quarterback.
The committee should know that they did not have Brady Cook against Alabama. And I'm no offense, they set that precedent. The second last year, they told you you can't be in there without your quarterback. Well, then they should just be throwing bad games away if you don't have your starting quarterback. In my opinion, they set that precedent of judgment where we judge you based on your starting quarterback. So, like, if they don't have him against Alabama, well, this game shouldn't really matter for Missouri.
I
like,
still don't think
they make on them
it,
later
though.
If it's
the problem
a two-loss
is Missouri
team?
Won't have the wins, though.
There's
the
no
resume.
Signature win
like,
for them, yeah.
That's the issue. You're right. Florida State last year, we all know the story. The argument there was they still were winning. they had marquee wins and everything like that. So it'll be interesting. I hope Brady Cook does play in this game. Drew, sorry to cut you off. We got some breaking news.
Go ahead.
Breaking news in the NFL from Ian Rappaport. Sky Moore headed to the IR. That's the corresponding move because, remember, DeAndre Hopkins, they had to open up a roster spot. Sky Moore to the IR. Look, I'm not saying he's not hurt. But
it feels like you're suggesting that.
But I'm not saying he's not hurt, but I'm also saying it's very convenient for the Chiefs and their roster situation that Sky Moore, who has been completely irrelevant to this team this year, is going on IR when they need an open roster spot.
Weird. So I guess... Okay, so...
Sky Moore IR.
They're calling it a core muscle injury. That means he's going to miss at least 4 weeks.
Yep.
This has zero impact on the team. I'm not doing this to put the guy down, okay? Yeah. I just like... This would be the same as if you told me a couple of years ago that Mike Caliendo was head. You know, like, I don't know why I pick on him, but you get the point. Like, a third string, fourth string player. He is the fifth wide receiver. He's an ineffective player. And if you're at that level, well, then I'm not that worried about it. It does stink for Sky Moore, who is in his final year, I think, fairly obviously, as a Chief. I know he technically has one more year in his deal left after this one. But, I mean... This doesn't impact this team, other than it gives more wide receiver snaps to anyone else. Sky Moore did play, and I think you saw this too, a crazy amount of snaps for this team in the last game for the number of catches and targets he had. Like, two targets, the one drop, he played like 60% of the snaps. I like that those snaps are going somewhere else. This can help the team more than it hurts the team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Sky Moore... did not bring anything to the table. So they don't have to cut somebody they didn't want to cut. They don't have to make a decision, Cody, at the running back spot with Clyde and P. Ryan and that entire backfield. They're able to retain that for now without having to navigate the decision there because they can free up a roster spot. It doesn't have an impact in terms of on the field. This is a good thing in a weird way. They don't have to cut a running back yet. They can wait. And also bring in DeAndre Hopkins while they're there. So, Sky Moore on the IR.
Man, I'm trying to be careful here because guy didn't need to be buried in his life or anything. It's just like he's not a good player.
No, again, I'm not saying he's not hurt, but it's very convenient that he's on the IR.
This, I'll be honest, yeah. If this were baseball, we would 100% say, oh, he's got a bad case of the can't get anybody outs. Or Sky Moore suffering from a terrible, terrible version of the can't catches, you know? Because that's what it feels like. He just happened to get – he played the entire game. He didn't go out in the third quarter.
No, but on the drop, Cody, that's where that injury occurred.
Oh, that's where the core muscle injury.
Yeah, that's why he didn't catch the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to not assume that that is the reason. And if you're Sky Moore, at least you get to keep catching a check.
So who's Sunday Chiefs Raiders. So active wide receivers. D-Hop's going to end up being active, we believe.
Yes.
You're going to have...
That only reassures it.
D-Hop, Mecole Hardman, Justin Watson.
Xavier Worthy.
Justin Ross, I think, is five.
It's Ross or Remigio.
That's five, right?
Yep, that's five. So those would be the five.
There you go. That's the there it is. Those are the five.
They'll have 17 tight ends active.
Yeah.
But.
So you should have – those should be the five wide receivers now active for the Chiefs on Sunday. If for some reason D-Hop – I don't think it'll – for some reason, if he just wasn't available Sunday, but that, there's no reason to believe that won't be the case, then, yeah, they would just call up Remigio or Cornell Powell or something. But the five we name right there should be the five receivers active right here in Vegas on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium.
You and I, we're going down to the sportsbook. Justin Ross, anytime touchdown?
I told you guys yesterday.
Yeah.
I was – you know, we were saying – like
We're right here at the same swim.
We were talking about DeAndre Hopkins and like, oh, will he have a touchdown? What's his performance? This is the game where Justin Ross has a touchdown. Everybody's focusing on DeAndre Hopkins, Cody. Everybody. I'm talking about fans. This is where Justin Ross gets a random touchdown. This is the game. I need at least better than 10-1 for a touchdown.
Does
now.
He have a touchdown?
I need better than 10-1 for me to bet it, though. There's no way I'm betting it if it's below 10-1. I need 15-1 anytime touchdown. I need 45-1 first touchdown odds for me to be betting anything on Justin Ross.
There's nothing.
Does
on
he have a career
yet.
Touchdown?
What's that?
Does he have a touchdown in his career?
Justin Ross?
I'm asking. I don't remember.
I don't, think so.
I don't have like a specific memory of him scoring a touchdown, so I was just asking. He has zero career touchdowns, so you'd be counting on him to get his first ever one. He has six catches for 53 yards and zero career touchdowns. He does have some
preseason.
I need
some good touchdowns. Odds. Some good odds, baby, on Sunday.
But you're considering it, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's on the table.
Yeah. Yes. In a game in which it could be ugly, the Raiders suck. Let's just be honest. The Raiders stink.
Could be like 35-10 and Carson Wentz is in the fourth.
Bad football team. It's going to be 80% Chiefs fans, at least 70-30 Chiefs fans. It's Arrowhead West. We've seen Chiefs fans walking around Fremont Street last night already, and that was only Wednesday night. Wait till tomorrow night at the happy hour. Wait till Saturday here in Vegas, the night before the Chiefs game, and the amount of Chiefs fans are going to be here for that game. It's going to be insane. And it doesn't help their crowd chances when the team stinks. It'd be one thing if the Raiders were having a surprisingly good year or something. No, it is the ticket price for this game is all because of the Chiefs.
Yes. And every other road team that comes to this building.
True.
If you don't have tickets to the game, but you're going to be out here, don't forget our party tomorrow night at Overhang Bar here at Circa. It'll take place from 7 to 9 local time for those of you who will be in Las Vegas. If you RSVP or want the RSVP link, just let us know. 913-586-7965. That RSVP will get you a free drink. Get you a chance to win one of these giant – Cole, you should take a picture of these. One of the giant day beds out here at Stadium
Swim. Lay in the
day
bed.
It's huge. I think – how many people do you think could lay on it? What do you think? Six comfortably?
No. Four.
Four?
Yeah.
All right, it's probably in that range. I think maybe six. Maybe six a little – but you have to be a little tighter.
I mean, you're snuggling up.
Yeah.
You're snuggling up.
You got to be a little friendly in there. And game day tickets for the game on Sunday. So a lot of chances to win out here on Friday night if you're going to be out here in Las Vegas. I'm just going to start telling anybody I see in a Chiefs jersey walking down the street.
Oh, of course.
Hey, Friday night.
Free drink.
We'll see you there. Free drink. Chance to win tickets. Do you want that or not?
Will you stand on Fremont? Will you stand on
get one of the circles
and get it? Yeah, you got to get a permit.
I got a license.
Will you stand on one of the circles and try to convince people to RSVP to the party
by singing? I mean, like a troubadour.
You should sing.
Yes.
Yeah. Just sing on Fremont Street and see if anybody with it.
I'm gonna get bullied by the people down there who are working for a living.
Can we go? What about just on the strip? Let's go to the strip.
That I can.
You stand there and sing and put a jar in front and see if anybody drops money. I just want to see how long it takes you to get $10. I want to see how long it takes you to get $10.
Man.
I'll laugh my ass off if somebody in like the first half hour just drops a $5 bill in there.
Nice.
And then take that money and bet it on Justin Ross.
Bet it on Justin Ross for first touchdown.
Yes.
45-1 or whatever.
Perfect. Trip made. All right, up next, we continue broadcasting here from Stadium Swim. We're outside by the pool hanging out, getting set for Chiefs Raiders. Up next, though, let's talk more about why the Chiefs have many, many reasons to be motivated on Sunday, including some comments from the offseason.